Have you ever experienced hostility? Have you been hostile towards others? Or were you on the receiving end? Or both? When you feel hostile, what does it feel like physically? How does it affect your body, your mind, your heart? And what do you do? Do you tell anyone how you feel? Do you pray? Or do you struggle to admit those feelings to yourself, to others, and to God? Hostility isn't something we enjoy talking about, at least not when it concerns ourselves, our families, our communities. It is unfortunate that hostility socially is encouraged against certain types of people and certain places. Do we know what hostility really means? According to the Britannica Dictionary, hostility is a noun used to talk about an aggressive, unfriendly state, attitude or action toward people or ideas or situations. It's about enmity, making someone else your enemy, about opposition, conflict, malevolent, often violent action. It also can refer in the plural hostilities to acts of war or aggressive acts in business or in social life. The noun hostility and the related adjective hostile are both derived from a Latin word, hostis, which means enemy. Hostile means of or relating to an enemy. A state of deep-seated ill will, antagonistic, unfavourable, inimical, unfriendly. Or, when it's speaking about a place, an environment, a situation, a relationship or a culture, hostile means unpleasant, harsh, something that is not life-giving. Returning to our opening questions. Can you recall a time when you were hostile, when you thought or treated someone or something as your enemy, when you felt ill will towards someone or something, when you didn't want their welfare and didn't want them to flourish, when you wanted things to go badly for them? Can you remember a time when you were on the receiving end? When people looked at you askance, wary, distrusting, suspicious, treating you as a stranger, as someone who did not belong. Or perhaps when they actively treated you as an enemy, wanting evil for you, not good. Have you ever even felt that God was out to get you? That God had somehow become your enemy? This week we are looking at the movement from hostility to hospitality, one of the three movements that Henry Nouwen describes as the movements of the spiritual life. Our work as Christians, Nouwen explains, is as we are led by the Spirit to transform loneliness to solitude, hostility to hospitality, and allusion to prayer. But we are always caught between the tensions of those poles. We never arrive. We're always pulled back and moving to and fro. The practice of solitude of heart enables us to speak, listen, watch and act from a place of tranquility. When we live with solitude of heart, we can listen with attention to the worlds and words of others. But when our listening is driven by loneliness, we engage with others only to satisfy our own needs. This conversion of loneliness driven by our own needs to solitude when we are open to others, it's a slow process. We can't do it on our own. It's the work of the Spirit. The movement from hostility to hospitality is just as hard. And again, we can't do it on our own. It's a movement of the Spirit. When you think of hospitality, what images come to mind? What experiences do you remember? Unfortunately, the concept of hospitality, which biblically is a very radical concept, has lost much of its power in our world, where on the one hand we speak of the hospitality industry as if true hospitality could ever be commercialised and commoditised, while on the other hand we too often play it safe with our own practice, being hospitable only to those we already know, those we already trust, and reducing our hospitality to catching up with our friends, to entertainment, or sometimes even to competing when it comes to food and wine. The Bible points to deeper, more dangerous possibilities. When Abraham received three strangers at Mamre in the desert and provided water, bread and meat, they revealed themselves to him as the Lord, or possibly as angels, messengers of the Lord. They brought a gift, announcing that Sarah, his wife, would give birth to a son. Then remember the story of the widow of Zarephath, who gave Elijah the prophet shelter. He was a stranger from a different nation and place, but she gave him shelter during a famine. And then he revealed himself as a man of God, offering, giving her an abundance of oil and meal, and even raising her son from the dead. Remember the story when two travellers, broken-hearted and despairing, met a stranger on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. When night fell or evening was coming, they invited him in to stay with them the night. He became the host at that meal, breaking bread, revealing himself as the one for whom they longed. These stories and others show us not only that we are seriously obligated to welcome the stranger, they also tell us that when we do this, we may indeed welcome angels unawares. Our understanding of hospitality should not be limited to the common sense in which we use it in our culture of welcoming people into our homes or going out together somewhere else to eat. It means receiving strangers in a much bigger sense. We must never neglect to practice that inviting to the table hospitality, but we must also work on the fundamental attitude we have towards our fellow human beings, those we'll never meet, as well as those we know. Nguyen writes, "In our world full of strangers, people are estranged from their own past, their culture, their country, from their neighbours, friends and family, from their deepest self and from their God. So in our world we witness a painful search for a hospitable place where life can be lived without fear and in community. Although many strangers in this world too often become the victim of hostility, it is possible for men and women, and it is obligatory for Christians, to offer and open a hospitable space where strangers can cast off their strangers and become our fellow human beings, where they can be free, where they can be safe, where they can be who they are. Yet, we need to admit that our spontaneous feelings towards strangers are often ambivalent. There are many forms of hostility that we might experience, and many of these are born of fear and anxiety. They prevent us from reaching out. They prevent us from inviting other people into our world. From childhood, we're taught that strangers are dangerous. We may, as adults, long to feed the hungry, to visit prisoners, to offer shelter to travellers. We enjoy supporting Link and Embrace Sanctuary. Yet personally, we are tempted to hide behind walls of fear and hostility, prudence and caution. We might even avoid people and places that will offer us the opportunity to reach out. And we live in a society where competition is seen as a strength, and cooperation and compassion are seen as weaknesses. where fear and suspicion, aggression and defensiveness pervade too many social relationships. But hospitality, as Noan explains, is the creation of a free, safe space where the stranger is welcome, and if they choose, they may enter, and if they choose, they may become a friend. The German word for hospitality means friendship for the guest. The Dutch word means freedom for the guest. It's important that hospitality offers friendship but does not bind that guest and deprive them of freedom. The guest is always free to leave and take their own road. Neither is hospitality a subtle invitation to become like the host, nor does it expect the guest to constantly be on the receiving end. Hospitality enables the guest to listen to their own heart, to find their own selves, to find their own way. It invites the guest to give and requires the host to be willing and grateful to receive, to become the guest in the place that they had invited a guest into. The movement from hostility to hospitality is hard because our culture and our nation shapes us in the other direction. Yet as Christians, as followers of Jesus, our vocation is to convert enemies to friends, to create the free and fearless spaces where brotherhood and sisterhood can fully be experienced. We'll never be completely free of our hostilities. We do need to name our unloving feelings when they come. There are times when we might just need to keep to ourselves because we've been hurt and there's a desire for revenge. Such things take time to heal. But to be truly healed, they must be owned. They must be felt. The Psalms, again, give voice to both being on the receiving end and being on the desire to do bad things to others or have bad things happen to others. The psalmist expresses hostility sometimes as a prayer that God's judgment would fall on his enemies and that those the psalmist holds responsible for his or his people's misfortune, sometimes the psalmist prays that they would get their own back, wanting evil, not good. The psalmist writes, O Yahweh, do not give the wicked what they want. Do not let their evil plans succeed. Let the heads of those who surround me be covered with their own threats. Let burning coals fall on them. Let them be thrown into a pit, never to rise again. Do not let slanderers prosper on earth. Let evil speedily hunt down the violent. Wishing evil, not good. And there's another psalm, Psalm 102, where the psalmist feels to be on the receiving end. He writes, I lie awake, I am a lonely bird on a rooftop. All day long my enemies insult me. Those who ridicule me use my name as a curse. I eat ashes like bread, and my tears are mixed with my drink. Because of your hostility, because you have picked me up and thrown me away. The psalmist feels as if God is hostile to him. It doesn't mean that God is hostile to him, but that is how it feels. The psalms give us permission to not only own our feelings when they're bad, but to acknowledge them before God, not act on them, but acknowledge them, and recognises that sometimes we will feel as if God is hostile to us. We can talk about that to God as well. Hostility isn't something we like to talk about. It's also something we don't seem to want to study on an individual or community level. I didn't find any studies on hostility that I could share with you. I did find a lot of research into friendship. A friendship report published quite recently was commissioned by Snapchat. 30,000 people participated over 16 different countries. People understood their closest friends as those that encouraged them to be themselves. Which links, doesn't it, to hospitality being creating a space where people can be who they are and aren't pushed to become like us. When asked, the top traits or characteristics that people sought out in a friend were honesty, trustworthiness, and loyalty. What does that mean in a context of hospitality? Welcome a stranger. We need to be honest. We need to be trustworthy, and we need to be loyal to our guests. There was also research in the top reasons why we lost touch with friends when physically separated and during the COVID pandemic. First was physical distance, then not making time to connect. To retain your friends, to remain your friends, it does take time. People grew apart in terms of their interests and purposes. There were time zone issues when they moved across different countries, and then there were fights and arguments. When they did further research into that, 80% of those who had lost a good friend through a disagreement longed for reconciliation, but most of them were too afraid to make the first move, but would welcome it if the other person acted first. Some other research from Australian psychologists working in universities, they tell us that on average, to move from an acquaintance to a casual friend you enjoy hanging out with takes about 40 to 60 hours of time together. To transition from being a casual friend to a closer friend, but not really, really close, takes about another 80 to 100 hours. And to become a close friend, someone that you think they can rely on, you can rely on them, you'll be there for each other, you'll make each other free to be yourselves, themselves, that takes about 200 hours. Not all intense one-on-one time, having fun together, going on adventures, just goofing around. All these times together are important. Maintaining friendships takes time and energy, but that's much more difficult for the psychologist to quantify to give us an average figure. So these are some estimates, but we can't befriend everyone. No one has time to be friends with everyone. How do we, as a congregation, offer friendship and hospitality? Michael Frost is a Baptist minister and missiologist from Sydney. He discusses the differences between welcoming friendly churches and churches where true friendship is found and offered, churches that are truly hospitable. Surveys tell us that quite a number of people don't stay or leave churches because they couldn't find any real friends there. People with whom they could share their lives. People who didn't just welcome them on Sundays, but caught up during the week. People who were interested in who they were and weren't just interested in church growth. What about us, individually, as a congregation, and nationally and internationally? How do we move from hostility to hospitality? First, individually, there is that hard heart work, relying on the Spirit, a constant turning away from fear and anxiety and hostility towards the risk of love and the hospitality that that makes possible. It requires self-awareness, confronting our own hostile feelings and bringing them to God. It means recognising that people will be hostile towards us, but not retreating from that into defensiveness and returning hostility for hostility. It means practising hospitality. That requires a bit of a friendship audit. Is your life too full? Do you have time, energy, space to welcome the stranger who crosses your path? Might you even need to reconfigure how you practice your established friendships to make space for that stranger who needs you to make them their friend? I'm told that a previous minister of this church advised us to always to have room for one more friend. Hospitality friendship involves more than inviting people to an occasional meal. It means sharing lives. It means creating space. As a congregation, we are welcoming, we are friendly. I believe we do offer friendship. Perhaps it means being intentional about that. It means intentionally, as a congregation, being creating a space where our guests are offered friendship and given freedom, where guests, if they choose, can become a friend, where guests can become a host and contribute their gifts to us and our community. As a congregation, link and embrace sanctuary are other ways that we extend hospitality beyond this immediate congregation. When we enable organisations to work and help other people in other spaces, create room for people to be who they are, to experience welcome and find safety and a degree of freedom. Nationally and internationally, this is a very challenging movement. The nations of the world are also called by God to move from hostility to hospitality, to recognise other nations as friends, not enemies. And it's our heart and community work here that shape us to be part of a world, salt, light and yeast, that will help the nations build peace rather than making war, that will work against the greed and the powers and the lust to take control that so often generate armed conflict, that will work against the refusal to give a living space to enable life for others that you, for various reasons, have determined are your enemies, a threat. Hospitality recognises that all people are made in God's image, that they do not all need to be like us, but they all have gifts to offer the world and to offer us. Let's pray. Lord God, you welcome all to your table. We pray that we would be formed more truly as your people, welcoming, gracious, taking the risk, making ourselves vulnerable, making space even when it costs us dearly, even when it's dangerous. We pray these things knowing that it is beyond our own ability, that it is a work of the Spirit. And we pray for your Spirit to move not just in, through and among us, but in, through and among the nations, their rulers, their peoples, and your world. Amen.